Good afternoon and welcome to this BizNews briefing. It's Tuesday, the 8th of October, and Bronwyn Nielsen standing in for Alec Hogg, the founder and editor of BizNews.com. We have a full show for you today with a big focus on the markets. We'll be chatting to JP Verstad from Protea Capital Management, Piet Viljoen, Merchant West, and Byron Lotter from Vestat. Let's kick off with JP's views on China's recent announcement that it's injecting $28 billion into local governments as it strives to meet economic growth targets. At the same time, the World Bank has warned that China's slowdown may deepen.
I do see the JSE is down about 1.3% today, intraday. Most of that is in the commodity space. So commodity counters as well as Naspers and Prosus are down sharply as a result of what you say was happening in China. World markets as well are down. In Europe, we're down about 0.5%, and the U.S. futures are little changed. So the U.S. markets will open in just under an hour, but it doesn't seem like at least the U.S. will be much lower. So most of the markets that are impacted negatively around the world are because of China. And the big news this morning was that there was a news conference and people thought there might be further stimulus announced, and there wasn't. So people had high expectations, and when high expectations meet rising share prices and then those expectations aren't met, you get falling share prices. And that's why the Hang Seng index this morning ended 9% lower. So quite a big knock in China this morning.
Does that have bearing on the way that you look at the market, particularly with any exposure in the commodity space, if you have exposure in the commodity space, Jean-Pierre?
It does. So both the commodity space and I would say Chinese tech space are the two main areas that I think most South African investors would need to think about because of what's happening on the other side of the world. And on the commodity side, we saw a little bit of a blip, upwards blip in the likes of Kumba, BHP Billiton, Anglo American, on the back of this stimulus the last 2 weeks, just as China came out of their golden week. The first one to the 8th or first of to the 7th of October is Golden Week, National Day Golden Week. And that boosted commodity stocks. But today, the view is that, well, maybe the stimulus is not as big as what was expected. Question mark is whether it will be sustainable. And if it isn't sustainable in terms of really getting that Chinese growth going, like you mentioned earlier, also the World Bank asking questions about that, then maybe we won't see more steel consumption and therefore we won't see iron ore prices. So we have very little commodity exposure. We are short commodities in our hedge funds, and that has worked for us. And we'll probably continue being short commodities because of how this is playing out. And then on the tech side, we still have long exposure to Naspers and Prosus. And we continue to have that because we do think ultimately there will be some pickup in confidence in China that will positively impact the likes of Naspers and Prosus.
Byron Lotter from Vestat says, of course, we need to be cognizant of trends in China. It's the second largest economy in the world.
Of course. I mean, China is the second biggest country GDP-wise on the planet and very important both as South African and as a U.S. investor. You know, a lot of our stocks have massive exposure to China, Tesla being one of them, Apple, Nike. You know, whether it's manufacturing there or selling to Chinese consumers. So definitely is something important to watch. I do feel this latest stimulus-led rally doesn't quite feel like it's got the right foundations or fundamentals to be sustainable. You know, that kind of market reaction to a government stimulus, I can't recall anything like that, seeing that ever. And yeah, it just doesn't feel like it can last. I mean, interestingly, a lot of investors or experts say, you know, you've got to have some sort of Chinese exposure. But to be honest, especially coming from a South African perspective where we already operate in quite a volatile regulatory environment, I really don't think it's necessary to put your hard-earned savings, you know, in a jurisdiction where, you know, the regulatory environment can be changed so quickly. And that's what we saw, you know, during COVID and how the Chinese reacted to that. And, you know, a lot of South Africans have heavy exposure to Tencent through Naspers and how they have heavily regulated the gaming sector in China. So things like that is probably a good reason to avoid it directly, you know, buying direct Chinese stocks. But again, you know, there's a lot of South Africans through NASPERS, through the commodity stocks, you will have indirect exposure to China.
From China to investing in South Africa, Piet Viljoen has been mining South African markets for value for decades, and he's been proved right with multiple awards of late. Piet talks to his continued pursuit of value in the South African market.
Local stocks have been on a run over the past few months, basically since the election, after when the results of the election came out. They've been on quite a bit of a run, but they're still cheap. They're still undervalued, and I would argue they're still very much underowned.
Where would you be looking for value in the current market environment? We have seen some of the players, Calgo, M3, out with results. The property players, I was chatting to Magnus yesterday. He certainly sees value in the property environment. Is that an arena that you would be hunting in?
Yeah, look, the property stocks have had quite a strong rebound, basically because they're so closely linked to the interest rate cycle, and bond yields have come down by 250 basis points since the election. There's a big risk premium that was priced into South African bonds, which came out after the election. Bond yields declined, and property yields declined in sync with that. So the property stocks have had quite a good run. And I think looking forward, you could probably make an argument that maybe the earnings will start to increase as well as vacant space falls up, as rents escalate and that sort of thing. So I think property makes sense. Local property makes sense. I do think that I would stay away from the offshore property guys still. I think that, you know, guys who manage property in South Africa know what they're doing, but if you're starting to buy Eastern European properties out of South Africa, I'm not sure you are fighting in a fight that you necessarily win.
Everybody's been waiting for interest rates to start coming down. We've started that cycle now, and there's a lot of attention on consumer stocks, stocks that will benefit from consumer being or achieving a reprieve in terms of pressure that they've been under. Is this a space that you are looking at, or have they already run?
They've run. So the large cap consumer stocks have run quite a bit. If you look at Mr. Prices and of the world, they've run quite hard. But there's some second and third tier consumer related stocks which have not run as hard yet, mainly because they're smaller, illiquid, and the large fund managers don't buy those stocks. Stay away from them. So I think there's still opportunity there. And also, you know, if the consumer stocks start doing well, they are going to start wanting to buy more stock for their stores. So you can see the industrial companies in the second order type effect, playing catch up with them, and they have not run as hard by any stretch of the imagination. So I think there's still opportunities that part of the market as well, the suppliers to the retail.
At the recent BizNews conference, Alec Hogg spoke to Magnus Haystack from Brainhurst Wealth about whether South Africa is investable.
Maybe just picking up from something that I always ask Rob Herzog, because he said South Africa is not investable. Is South Africa investable then?
Yes, of course it is. There's still money to be made in South Africa, whether it's, you know, making timeous decisions on the stock market based on valuation. Property, I've tweeted once or twice. My wife and I have bought two properties in the Western Cape. We bought in Tiger Valley. We bought in Reeboksloof and Paarl, which is a fantastic growth area. So there still is money to be made in property. And I think when the interest rate cycle comes down, I would not buy property for speculative purposes in an ANC-controlled province. That I wouldn't do, and I've been saying that for a long time. It's only the Western Cape. So yeah, I put some money into the local market.
That's a big story, Magnus. You've been pretty negative, but now you're buying property, which is the biggest vote of confidence one could possibly have in, because it is so long-term and because the trading costs are so high.
Correct. I mean, I don't know why it angered a lot of people, and especially journalists and media bosses, you know, disloyalty, unpatriotic. I said, You guys don't pay me. My clients pay me. My decisions are based on facts, and I can show you my facts. The media doesn't publish half of what's happened in South Africa the last 10 years for various reasons. But the facts are changing. There is a little bit of optimism coming in. There is still, and there has been for the last 10 to 12 years, even longer, a very dramatic migration of wealthier people from the north to the south, to Hermanus, Paul, Franschhoek, Cape. Those property prices have done very, very well. So, and lastly, you know, with exchange control, you can't take all your money out of the country. It's still a schlep and an application form. So there, what do you do with the balance of your capital? And I like property, believe it or not. And I still should wear my Springbok jersey today, but I didn't. Oops, All Blacks. I'm sorry. You know, so this whole story that I'm negative and you know, I love the country. All my children are in the country. My grandkids are in the country. But, you know, I am a global citizen as well. And I've always said that I do not want to be beholden to only one country because, remember, the relaxation of foreign exchange rules means that there are still rules and they can introduce them tomorrow. And I think we dodged the bullet with the election. And I don't know what Francis, how he would answer that question, that there was a small chance that it could have gone wrong and that the MKAEFF Alliance got into power, then all the bets would have been off as far as investments are concerned. So that political risk has not disappeared from South Africa. It's not gone. It's better. But there's always that worry about what happens in the next election, depending who gets into power. You know, so, but for the next 5 years, I think we're okay.
Moving away from the markets, Chris Steyn spoke to SAPS whistleblower Patricia Morgan-Mashile, who says it is just a matter of time before she is killed.
You know what? I also know that I'm not going to die in the natural death, even when I die. But I want everyone to know if I die an unnatural death, that the police is responsible for it. I want everyone to know that. I know. I just don't, you know what? Not knowing when is some, give me some kind of comfort. But I know I'm going to be killed by the police.
You know, Patricia, every time I get a message from Professor Haas, I go cold because I think something has happened to you. You must feel like a marked woman. And it chills me to the bone that you're saying you know that you are going to die at the hands of the police, and yet you keep going.
You know what? I had to make friends with reality. And I had to tell myself that as long as there's no action from the government, as long as there's no action from the president, I had to just make friends with reality that is going to happen. It happened to Babita. The president was there. They know who killed Babita. It happened to Armand. It's known that even the guy who killed Armand was released on bail. So as long as the president is turning a blind eye, now I just read an article, I think it was 2 days ago, where they said that there is a whistleblower hit squad, which is consisting of police officers. So the information is out there. Everyone knows about it. These people are known. The president read newspapers. He's watching the news. He see that there's a hit squad who are killing whistleblowers. But as long as the president is condoning it, then we as whistleblowers must accept the reality and live with it. We don't have a choice. I would do it. If I would have watched a video of what was going to happen if and when I expose this corruption, I would have had some kind of doubts. But on the other hand, my conscience would not have allowed me to keep quiet. So I would have done it, Chris, knowing that I might be killed in the process. And I'm proud to say that police officers are now making whistleblowing fashionable, because now a lot of police officers are now standing up. There's a general from another province who called me and he said, Patricia, do you know what you caused? And I thought that there was something wrong that I did. And he said, no. You made police officers to stand up for the truth, because the way we are receiving complaints and information of corruption from police officers now is amazing. So I'm proud to say that at least I made an impact. People are now not afraid anymore, although most of them choose to remain anonymous, but they are reporting. They are reporting to me all the information that I'm getting it from police officers. So not even just from police officers, even from other government departments.
In another riveting interview, Chris spoke to Neil de Beer, leader of the United Independent Movement, who weighs in on the South African National Defence Force. Neil does not hold back on his opinion.
Absolutely, Chris, but it is a shocking rollover of just one on the other. We spoke the other day that in the biggest air defence show and military show where you get the world coming together, because I must tell you, I know it, the armament space in the world is one of the biggest industries ever. So war creates in the industry, unfortunately. So when you look at the total defense structure, which I was involved in, when you talk about Arms Corps, Krijg Corps, when you talk about Denel, when you talk about aerospace, when you talk about the things that we were very competent in, one of the biggest attributes to South Africa was the methodology of creating certain things like the Rattle, the Roy Falk, the Casper, the Eland, the G5 cannon, the G6 cabin. We had huge capability of creating, and it's not an industry that people, you know, are attracted to, but it's a reality of life. That's non-existent anymore. So when you add Arms Corps fall, when you add Denel fall, when you find those structures, we have absolutely rubbished one of the greatest innovators and innovation industries of the world, which was in South Africa. So now not only do you have a methodology where we don't have the structuring to maintain a defense force, but everything attached to it is crumbling. Now, I am therefore still saying shocked that you will take the current minister, and I'm telling you, she's not competent. Because she does things that does not align to defense. They didn't get the permits in order for one of the biggest entities in the world in armament, the United States, to come to the Pretoria show. This is incompetence. If you don't listen to what your people say, you are going to fall on your own sword. So when the head of the Navy, when the Army and the Air Force are screaming and telling you, we are the people in the command structure, but you don't listen, or you don't have the competency to understand what they are saying to you, then what do you get? Well, you get this kind of rubbish that we currently have, where we had, no matter what you say, Chris, one of the most formidable striking forces in the world, now reduced to where we are today. And I hope there will be change. Otherwise, it won't bode well. And one more thing, I am in contact with the people on the ground, and I'll tell you, the morale of the general person that is within the forces is absolutely not well, and that must change.
That brings us to the end of today's business briefing. South African markets slightly lower as we move into the close, with resources leading the downside, pressure almost across the resource stocks. At one stage, Kumba Iron Ore was more than 5% down, followed closely by Anglo American. The dollar rand trending slightly weaker than yesterday at around 17.52 to the dollar. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen, standing in for Alec Hogg, who will be back with you tomorrow. This is your daily BizNews Briefing.